Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your touch, Lord. We thank you for your embrace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Father, we give you all honor and glory, Lord. We pray. Continue to move in this place, Lord. Continue to move in this place, Father God. Move in our lives. To my brother behind the camera, I'd just like to speak two words over you, and that's hunger and thirst. As we were worshiping, I just really felt those words just come over you, hunger and thirst. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And I just pray the Lord fill you. May He continue to equip you. May He continue to mold you. May He give you the desires of your heart as you delight in Him. And I just thank you for Him, Lord Jesus. Protect Him, Lord. I plead your blood over Him, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have given Him a new hunger, a new thirst, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Philip, as you draw strength from the Lord, you give strength to others. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. And I just see the Lord, even as I was standing behind you, the Lord just pouring more and more strength over you. Lord, may you continue to strengthen my brother, Lord. As you have blessed many, as you have spoken over many, Lord, may you continue to give them fresh revelation, Lord. Fresh desire, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for his life, his obedience, blessings over him, his family, Lord. I thank you that his family is protected, is healed. We give you honor, we give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. God, move in this place, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Believe we are free. Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for these words that have come forth this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, of all the praise, Lord. Move, move, move. Hallelujah. God is in this place, amen? God is in this place. God is in this place. God is in your homes if you're watching. And if you watch later, God is still in your homes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how to transition to announcements from this, but we will try. Amen. So a new announcement is we're looking for volunteers to help in different areas with tech and media. Any tech savvy people here? I'll put my hand down. And we're also looking for volunteers to help with security. Any strong people right here? Oh, yes. Oh, no. I'll put my hand down there, too. But just to help out in different areas, so if you are willing to help, if you would like to help, please see one of us. Let us know. I'll do it. All right? Can I get some volunteers? No, I'm kidding. Wednesday nights. I promised Rafiq I wouldn't go long on announcements, and I'm doing it. Wednesday nights, Bible study. That's via Zoom, 7 p.m. We're going through the book of Nehemiah. It's been a blessing. So we encourage you guys to follow along. Jump in. Say hello. If you don't want to share your face, that's okay. Put your name so we know who you are. And then Thursday nights, way ahead of you, Rafiq. Thursday nights, youth meeting via Zoom also. Invite the young ones, middle school, high school. And they get to spend some time with me. So that is a great blessing for them. No, I'm kidding. But Just we encourage you guys, let them know if they want to join and come along and have some fun with us. And I believe that was it for announcements. No, it's not. Rafiq, you're all over it. Tithes and offerings. We have the box in the back if you are so led to do that. Or you can give through Zao. All the info is there, isaiaharise.com. Just remember, it is something that the Lord commands us to do. Right, it's not an option, right? He wants to bless you in your finances as well. So we trust in the Lord. And also, make sure we maintain our physical distance, right? Not social. We still can say hello to people, but just maintain your physical distance. Keep your mask on unless you're up here. That's the rule. When we're out there, keep your mask on. Say hello to anybody. And hallelujah. Praise God. All right. You know what? I don't want you to follow me all over. We'll bring this over this way. How's that? Better? I'm going to make your job easy today. I'll probably only go to the wall and back a couple times. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He shall what? He shall direct your paths. Right? It's a verse that a lot of us know. It's a verse that a lot of us have heard. We teach it to the little ones, and we memorize it, and we say it, and it's a good verse. It's a simple verse, but it's difficult to follow, right? It's been difficult sometimes. We make it difficult, whatever the case may be, right? We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. And yet, what do we do many times? We lean on our own understanding. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, and we make a mess about things. And then God fixes it. Praise God. But it says that we're to trust in Him, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. He'll help us along the way. Right? We heard words already this morning of believe that you are free. Trust in the Lord. Hope in Him. Right? We hear these words that remind us and tell us to live for Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him that something good is going to happen in our lives. And we go out there sometimes and we forget. And this message, I know I said simple message, I should not have said that. It's a powerful message because of what it's telling us to do. And we need to follow this, and we pray and help us to follow this message. And we're going to see in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I want to introduce to you a king. His name is Asa, King Asa. I hope I said that right. Asa? Anybody else? Asas? Asas, whatever you want to call them, big A. But anyways, King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1, it reads like this. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and observe the law of the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him, and He has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Amen? So we see here, it's a good beginning, right? And by saying that, I think you guys know where I'm headed. So let's just get to the end and close. But we see a good beginning here. We see a king that he became king, right? And it says right away, it says that he did good in the eyes of the Lord, right? So we see a good story starting off right there. He did good in the eyes of the Lord. He followed, right, the commands of the Lord. And it tells us a little bit of what he did, right? He removed evil. He commanded all Judah. He was the king of Judah, by the way. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord. He built fortified cities. And the land had rest and no war. In verse 6 it says, because the Lord had given him rest. So we see somebody here. We see a picture of somebody that is doing well with the Lord, right? Things are going well for him, right? He's doing what he's supposed to. He's following along the lines and, you know, praise God. Things are going good. It says he had rest. There was peace, right? Peace on every side. And they built and they were moving and things were happening for the Lord, right? Maybe in our lives we have felt that where things were happening, they were going good, there was peace, and you wake up in the morning and there's butterflies in the air, or whatever the case may be, but we feel things are going good, and praise God. If you're there, tell me the secret. It's Jesus. But we've been in situations like that where things are going well, and things are going good, and you're just believing in God, and God is blessing you, and He's helping you, and He's coming through, and we're like, praise God. Somebody say, praise God. And we see that later on after this, I'll try to go through this. Later on after this, that the Ethiopians rose up against them, it says, right? Rose up against them, and they came out with 1 million men and 300 chariots. So they're coming for war against them, okay? So we see right here that war is happening. War has come out. Things are going good. Right, we built, everything's going well. I followed, I got rid of evil, and things are going good. Well, all of a sudden, here comes an enemy, right? And it rises up against him, right? And he sets up, and it gives us a number, 1 million men and 300 chariots, and they're ready, right? They're ready to come against Judah and King Asa. They're ready to attack. And then when he sees this, in verse 11, Asa, it says, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa in Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Amen. So he prayed to the Lord. He saw the enemy coming against him. He saw that there was danger coming against them. And he stopped and he prayed and he asked the Lord to intervene on his behalf. Right? And it says that the Lord came in, defeated the Ethiopians, and says that they fled. And God gave them the victory. Amen? Great story. Great story. It's going good. The movie's going good. Praise God. Everything, he's following the Lord, and he had the victory. The enemy rose up against him, and he gave it to the Lord. This is what the Lord wants us to do every time we feel there's a battle, right? The Word tells us that the battle belongs to the Lord. We give it to the Lord. We put it in His hands, but yet sometimes we lean on our own understanding, and we try to do it ourselves first. We try to fix things ourselves first. So we see God gave them the victory. We're going to fast forward in time, two chapters in history. And we're going to see that after this, in chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, it says that Baasha, king of Israel, comes up against Judah and builds Ramah. Right? So we see that the king of Israel comes up against him now, and that he builds Ramah. He starts building kind of like a blockade to prevent anybody from coming in to Judah or coming out. Right? So there's a blockade, there's a blockage there, there's something in the way from access into the kingdom. Okay? He's built, another enemy has come in, and now he is saying, I'm gonna stop you. I'm going to prevent you and your people from having access in and out. Right? So I'm going to build this place. I'm going to put this right here between you and the in the pathway, and you're not going to be able to get through. This is going to stop you from moving. And there's things in our lives that have been placed, been built, that try to keep us from access to our Father, from access to getting closer to God, from access to drawing closer. And there's something being built, and it says this is here to stop you from getting closer to God. This is built here to stop you from learning more about the Lord's ways, about His Word. So they built this blockade, this city Ramah. And what Asa did, as he did before, he turned to the Lord and he said, drop to his... No, he didn't. I was already going to be like, you're already... It says that he turned to somebody else. He turned to the king of Syria. And he took all his silver and his gold and he paid him pretty much to help him out. Right? He says, hey, I'm going to give you this money. Right? This is the paraphrased version. I'm going to give you this gold, this silver, and I'm going to pay for your services so that we can scare this guy and you can come against the king of Israel and he can stop what he's doing. And so he did. And what happens is that when he paid him off, he said he agreed to it. And when they came against him, it says that it worked, the plan worked. And King Baasha leaves. And so we see here that Asa, what he did here is that he trusted in his resources, right? He had silver, he had gold, and he had another king. He can just say, hey, help me out. And we see that this plan worked, right? He wanted this removed. He wanted that king out of the way. And so he came up with a plan, and the plan worked. But this plan, as we're going to learn, is leaning on your own understanding. Right, this story is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, which ironically was written by Solomon, who is in the family tree. Right, but he says, hey, I got a plan. I got to move this. I got to get rid of this. So what I'm going to do is I have something I can use, and hey, help me out. And the plan worked, and he probably felt like, praise God. My plan worked, right? Notice I said my plan worked, okay? Anybody been there before? My plan worked. Anybody ever do a plan and nobody knows it was your plan? Maybe I'm telling on myself right now. It's okay. You guys forgive me. You do a plan and it worked, but nobody knows you're the one that came up with the plan. Doesn't it eat at you like, oh, that was me. Right? Maybe you bring it up a couple of times. Man, that was such a good plan, right? Pastor Al, that was such a great plan that we came up with. So glad I thought of that. My plan worked, right? You must have been thinking, trying to put myself in the story, right? My plan worked. And the reason I think he was thinking this way is because we're going to see that a prophet comes and speaks to him, and he doesn't like what he hears, right? He doesn't like what he hears. Because of what he did. And if we go to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7, we see here that Hanani, the prophet, the seer, it says in verse 7, and at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. So says once again that the seer, the prophet, shows up and he gives them this word. And he pretty much rebukes them and he says, hey, what you did was wrong. Right? Sometimes you have a good plan, you think you had a good plan, and the last thing you want to hear is what you did was wrong. Anybody want to hear that after that? Like, man, that's such a good plan. Hey, what you did was wrong. He heard this message, and the seer told him, he said, what you did was wrong because you relied on the help of the Syrians. He goes, now they have fled too, right? The Lord was ready to bless him with them as well, right? With their, that could have been yours, he said. He says, they fled from you as well, right? He says, but because you relied on them, says now you have wars, right? He says now you will have wars. Now the peace has gone. From now on you will have wars. From now on you will have wars because you decided to rely on man. You decided to rely on the strength, the arm of another kingdom to help you out. You decided to rely on your own resources. You decided to rely on your plan, on your understanding, even though we're supposed to lean not. So we see here that he gets rebuked and King Asa made mistakes. He made mistakes and he made two mistakes out of many. But one thing that he forgot his previous victories. He forgot what the Lord had done in his life. Right, when the seer comes in, he says, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with many chariots and many horsemen? He's saying, wasn't this army a big army? Wasn't this a big enemy that came up against you? He says, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Because you put the trust, your trust in God, you had the victory. And he's reminding him about this victory. And we see that one of the mistakes that he made is that he forgot about this victory. Because if he would have remembered this previous victory, what would he have done? He would have done it again. When the enemy came, the king of Israel came, he should have said, Lord, another enemy. Help me here, Lord. But instead, he decided to have his own plan. Because he forgot about these previous victories, it caused him to rely on man. It caused him to not go out in the name of the Lord. It caused him to not call on the name of the Lord anymore. And it caused him to forget his first love. Remember, this was a man who did right and good in the eyes of the Lord. He followed what the Lord wanted, right? Got rid of evil. Got rid of people that were practicing his own family. His grandmother, he says, you're out. Because they were practicing evil. So he was doing good. He was following what the Lord was doing, but he lost sight of something. And he lost sight of what God had done in his life. That now because of that, he turned to his own understanding. And it caused him to forget about this first love. Revelations 2:5, when he speaks to the church of Ephesus, it tells us to remember and repent. He says, you have lost your first love. Remember where you have fallen and repent, it says. If we ever find ourselves in that place, where we forgot, we're going about our life, we're going about our business, we're going about whatever. On Wednesday, we learned about the parable of the sower. And one of them, the cares of the world, take it away. We go through life, whatever the case may be, and we're moving, and 2 weeks later, and we forget. And if you're in that place, just remember, if you've done wrong, repent and return. Right? Go back to that first love. Go back to that place. He had the opportunity and chose not to. He chose to lean on his own understanding. He chose to go with his plan. We got to remember and repent. His other mistake he did is he forgot who God is and God's nature. He forgot, just like I said, he forgot about the previous victory. He forgot about who God is, what his nature is. Verse 9 tells us again, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, and he is searching. And he is searching, and he's looking for that heart that is turned towards him. He's looking for that person that's saying, "Lord, I need you. Lord, help me." He's looking for that family that is praying. He's looking for that child that's praying and saying, "Help me, Lord." That older man, older, whatever the case may be. He's looking for that person. He's looking for that heart so he may prove himself strong, show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. It doesn't mean those who are perfect, because we know we're not perfect. But it's those who are wholly trusting in the Lord, who have put their trust in God, who say, "God, it may not look pretty out there, but I trust in you. It may not look good. The reports may not have been good. But God, I know who you are and what your nature is. And I know that you are a good God all the time." And all the time, God is good. He is good. He is good. But if we focus on the blockade that's in front of us, our eyes may be moved to that instead of to the Lord. Let us not forget. If we have forgotten, let's remember who God is. God is the healer. God has set us free. God has redeemed us. God is our helper. He's our refuge, our strength, a strong tower. God helps us in all times, all situations. He will come through. We need to trust in the Lord. And I know for sure this is speaking to me, because we forget sometimes. We go about our daily. And we think, I'm going. And we need a reminder sometimes. We need a reminder to remember. If we have to repent. Return to that place where God has called you. Return to the place. He is your deliverer. He is your comfort. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for who you are. He forgot his nature. We need to know that God wants to use our lives. God wants to use your life. He wants to use you wherever you're at. Work, school, walking, putting gas, walking the street, at the gas station, whatever the case may be, he wants to use you. There was one time we were outside passing out flyers for a church, and we're just walking, and there was a burger place right here on Firestone. And as we're going out, we're walking this way, and the guy was in a bike, and the car came and almost hit this guy. And the guy was able to get out of the way. He was startled, and we were right there. And the first thing that came out, I didn't plan this. The first thing that came out is I told him, I go, "Whoa, you're okay?" He says, "Yeah." And I told him, it's probably not the best tactical move, but I said, "Can you imagine if you would have died right there?" That's what came out. It wasn't in the pamphlet. But I said, that came out of me. And I said, "Can you imagine if you would have died right there?" And then I said, "Where do you think you would have gone? To heaven or to hell?" That came out of me. Not the nicest message, but he needed to hear it, I guess. For dramatic effect. You guys want to know what happened? Huh? But I told him that. I said, "Can you imagine what would have happened?" I said, "Man, What would you have gone? And he said, I don't know. So we were able to minister to him. And we were able to pray for him, and he gave his life to the Lord. Right? Victories like that, where you're there somewhere and the Lord wants to use you. Are you willing to be used by God? It's all he's looking for. He's looking for the heart that's willing to be used. Right? The heart that wants, God wants to use your life. God wants to bless your life. When you see others give their life to the Lord, it's a blessing to you. You get fired up. If you're out there and you're praying for people and somebody gets saved, what's the next thing you want to do? Let's go find somebody else. Right? Like, let's go. You don't say, okay, that's it, I'm good, we found one. You get fired up. It blesses your life. And it motivates you to keep on going. It increases your faith. God is looking for people he can use in them and through them, because God wants to reach the world around us. God wants to touch the broken hearts. God wants to touch those that are suffering, those that are struggling, right? God wants to touch our lives. And if he touched your life, he wants to continue to pour out his Spirit so that you can touch others. He wants to use you to touch the world. He wants to use you to speak to that person, the one that's lost, the ones that are captive, the ones that are bound, that we may declare freedom over their lives, that we may declare that God is good in their lives, that there's peace in their homes, that this is the day of salvation in their lives, the day of salvation in their homes. He wants to reach the world around us. He is looking for the heart that trusts in him. Are you that heart that trusts in him? Are you the heart that says, as Isaiah in 6:8, where he says, here I am, send me. When the word of the Lord says, whom shall I send? Here I am, send me. Long time ago, I probably said many things before, but oh well. I heard a preacher say, you know what qualifies you, when he was talking about the chosen and the called. And he says, you know what qualifies you to be that person? He goes, when you raise your hand and you say, I'll do it. That qualifies you, right? He says, Lord, send me. I'll do it. I'll do it. There was a time, long time ago, on Friday I got corrected. I said many, too many times, many, many years ago. So I'll bring it down to just too many's. But there was a time where I used to live in Ontario, and I had a prayer. And my prayer was, Lord, you guys ready for this? Lord, move me to Norwalk. My prayer wasn't, Lord, you know, whatever city you want. My prayer was, Lord, move me to Norwalk. I prayed that. And I said, Lord, if you move me to Norwalk, I'm going to... I had that prayer. Right? Everybody have that prayer? If you move me to Norwalk, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to tell people, and I'm going to go to the streets. And that prayer. I had that prayer. And I know that God listened, and God moved. He said, okay, Norwalk it is. High five. But I said, Lord, send me to Norwalk. Why? Because we were part of the church. I had just gotten saved. And I knew that at the church, they were going out. And they were outreaching. And they were praying for people. And people were getting saved. And people were getting healed. And I was hearing these stories. And I was like, I got to get there. I have to go to this place. I want to be a part of this. And the Lord moved. And when he moved, I'll never forget this, he moved suddenly. And suddenly, the Lord move. And suddenly, the Lord move. It came at a time where the place we were renting, we were told we had to move from there. They were going to use it for something else, and so we had to move, had to find another place. And in one weekend, you guys ready for this? And in one weekend, we moved from Ontario to Norwalk. We found a house to rent. We moved there. It was across the street from D.D. Johnson Elementary. And in that weekend, They told us we can use a multi-purpose room for church on Sundays. We found this house for rent. It had a den in the back. And then that weekend we moved the house. Then we moved the church into this house. We moved all the equipment all in one weekend. We just moved it all and it was there and we were able to have church on Sunday. And we would store everything in the garage. And every Sunday morning we would come out with dollies and take the pulpit across the street and take it into there and come back and grab stuff and go back and forth. And we would move back and we would set up. And the house was able to be used during the week, that den in the back, for Bible study and prayer throughout the week. God moved. God moved. And He helped us. He came through at this moment. It's a victory in our lives. God, where God has revealed to us that He is faithful. And He is on our side. And I'm still here in Norwalk. And yes, there have been times I have forgotten about this prayer. And there's times where the Lord has reminded me, and I've remember this prayer. And you feel when your heart starts beating, and you try to fight it sometimes, and you try to ignore it. But God is calling each and every one of us to touch the world. We see in the story that King Asa, after the seer spoke to him, we see that he didn't repent. Why? Because he got angry. He got angry and he threw the prophet in prison. And to finish his story, later on he gets sick. He has a disease in his feet. And it says that he didn't seek the Lord for his healing, but he sought the physicians. But it specifies, but he did not seek the Lord, right? So he went from this place where the Ethiopians rose up against him, and he sought the Lord, he got the victory, to a place where he didn't even want to hear the correction, the word of the Lord, so much that when he was sick, he didn't even turn to the Lord. He didn't give it to the Lord. And it says in his story that he passed away from there. And that was his story. It's not a good ending. It's not a great ending in his life. King Asa, he ran out of steam at the end and began to fall away from the path of righteousness. May God help us if we're feeling that way. If we feel we're running out of steam. We're trying to find the next step. We're trying to figure out the next step. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. He is with us. He fights on our behalf. The battle belongs to the Lord. If you have forgotten, remember, repent, come back to your first love. You know exactly where you're at. Trust in the Lord. He has given us many victories. There's many victories in this house. Trust in the Lord. Believe in God. He will help us. If there's issues right now, Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, we trust in you. Lord, may you help us. Lord, you rescue us. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." King David, we know, some of us know the story of the things he did. He wasn't all good, even though it says that he was a man who had the heartbeat of God. His heart beats after him. And he wrote this, and he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." See, King David knew the source. He knew that only God could restore his hope, his joy, his peace, and his life to him. He knew who to turn to say, "Lord, restore this. I have lost this. I'm losing it. I don't know where it's at. I want this." Wherever you're at, if you are there, just say, "Lord, restore this in my life. May my trust be in you from this day forward. Take me back to that first love." He knew what the source was. He knew that the source, he knew that it came from God. Everything else, man, treasures, whatever it is, We know that everything else is temporary. It only lasts for a little while. Restore. Restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. We know Peter, when he denied God three times, Jesus three times, he was later restored. Right? He was later restored. He felt bad. He felt the shame. And I love it today that shame was broken in the name of Jesus. Because a lot of times we make these mistakes and we forget. And we forget that God is on our side and we make these mistakes. And I thank you that you prayed that. The shame is broken because shame builds that city, builds Rama, builds that blockade. And it starts preventing us. And we start looking out the window and we see, well, the road is blocked. Well, maybe I'm just not even going to go anymore. And it keeps us. And it prevents us from moving forward. These mistakes that we have made. But guess what? The great news is, and we celebrated last week, is that Jesus Christ died for us, lived for us, and now there is forgiveness for our sins. There is redemption. There is somebody who paid the price for us. And if you feel bad, you say, Lord, I am sorry. And help me to walk in your ways. To do right. To do good in your sight. Peter repented and he was restored. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who wait or hope on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You shall mount up on eagles, not grow weary, not faint. If you hope in the Lord, it shall renew your strength. The opposite of King Asa's mistake is hope in the Lord. He lost that hope and he chose not to hope in the Lord, not to trust in the Lord. So the opposite of what he did and what we should do is hope in the Lord. Trust in God. Believe in God. My brother said, we all know we're going through things. Trust in God. Put it in His hands. The Lord is calling us to trust Him and to call upon Him for every need that we may have. May He renew our strength. Can we pray? I know there's times in our lives where we have to be reminded because we forget or we get distracted, whatever the case may be. And wherever, whatever situation you are in right now, whatever place you are, even if things are going good, maybe there isn't war right now. Whatever the case may be, we need to always remember that our hope is in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He shall lead your path. He shall direct your path. Lord, may You give us strength, Lord. May You continue to help us. May You continue to guide us. May You renew our joy. Renew our strength. Renew the hope. May we return to our first love. May we find that first love if we have not yet found it. May You be God of our lives. May You be number one in our lives, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness. We thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy. Father, we pray You just continue to touch our hearts, Lord. May our hearts turn to you always, Lord. May our hearts hope in you always, Lord. May our hearts trust in you always, Lord. You are the hope of glory, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We give you all honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.